Welcome to the Full of Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording, and it is 4:19 p.m. and that is Central Time. Today is May 27th, and I thought we'd kick off with the Bloomberg Dollar Index. And I've had a bit of a hectic day today because our movers arrived after a six-day travel across the country to deliver our stuff. So I finally got my nice office chair back. I feel a lot more comfortable, but haven't been able to spend as much time writing as I would normally like to. When we think about what's going on here, we've certainly had little pause in the region of the January lows, but when we think about what's happening with the renminbi, then it's continuing to strengthen, and it was at a new all-time high, or excuse me, that's not true, it was at a new recovery high in here today. This does look like the resumption of this pattern of outperformance. In Asia this morning, we also saw that the Nikkei was up about 1%. Now it's up in 1% in after hours trading, down a little bit in here today. When we think about the futures market, it's certainly taking its cue from some positive results on Wall Street. So it's up about 1.22% in the futures market. But the bigger picture here is one of the renminbi strengthening, the dollar on the cusp of breaking downwards. But then we also have a broader pattern of yen weakness too. So does not look like the yen is going to break higher against the dollar. It looks rather the opposite. So even though the USA would like a weaker currency, it's looking increasingly likely that the yen is going to be among the weaker currencies. So Japan has got some challenges to face. They are certainly looking at a rising number of cases and an increasing threat to the viability of holding the Olympics and getting as many competitors to travel to Japan as possible. But then, of course, there is also their determination to try and support the economy. And it's been a while since we've seen a pattern of, a clear intention by the Japanese government to devalue the currency. But the chart pattern right now looks like we could be right on the cusp of seeing exactly that. So as we think about what's happening with the yen, it looks like the dollar here is strengthening in the region of the trend mean. It has just about broken the sequence of lower rally highs, and this looks like a pattern where we're going to see additional yen weakness. So then we can go back and think about the Nikkei, and we could be looking at the potential now that there is going to be some additional nominal price appreciation as the yen declines in much the same fashion that we saw in 2012, where we had a lockstep move in terms of nominal price appreciation for the yen as for the Nikkei as the yen was devalued. So if the yen is currently the weakest currency in the world, well, then the renminbi is among the strongest, but the pound is also strengthening in here. There's been a lot of talk about some of the failures that the UK administration had right at the beginning of the pandemic, but in psychological terms, what we often see is a pattern where people tend to remember an event based upon its result. So if the lead up to a result was negative, but the result was positive, people will remember it as a positive experience overall. And when the result was when the lead up was positive, but the result was negative, well, then people will remember it as negative overall. That's generally why people remember bubbles with trepidation. And calling something a bubble is generally considered to be a negative thing, because most people's experience of a bubble is the crash. They tend to forget about the euphoria on the way up because of the traumatic effect on the way down. Well, We can perhaps start thinking about the pandemic in the same fashion, because as we come out of the pandemic and as we see that some countries are now dealing with it more effectively than others, then the feel-good factor is going to improve. And we can certainly see that with the pound. It's up now to 142, and it's right in the region of the peak from back in February. But I think it's more important to look at the long-term chart, because now we have clear evidence of base formation development, and it has been pausing in the region of the peak from back in 2018, and it's pretty orderly consolidation overall, and it has and it partially unwound its overextension relative to the trend mean, and now it's right on the cusp of breaking on the upside. And then when we think about how is the pound doing against the euro, we're presented with another base formation. And this one is perhaps a little longer, but it's also now firming from the region of the trend mean and the upper side of this base overall, and it looks increasingly likely that the pound will be doing better. So then when we think about the outlook for stocks, well, stock markets should benefit from increasing capital inflows, because the UK is beginning to talk about raising interest rates. They're not going to do it this year. But when we think about what the longer term outlook is, well, the UK is at least talking about raising interest rates. And then we have Canada, who is already engaged in tapering quantitative easing. We have a number of the other more successful countries in combating the coronavirus also talking about how they are going to exit their extraordinary assistance. So that is supporting their economies, supporting their currencies overall, and demand for financial assets from global investors. Well, then we can also think about Australia. So commodity prices have been resurgent, and then we have the Australian index, which is right on the region of its all-time peaks. And Australia, as a major commodity exporter, should also benefit from this emerging situation. So it's quite clear that we should have additional interest from foreign investors in Australian assets. It's very similar to Brazil. It has not, doesn't have the same strength that the Australian economy has. It's a much less developed market overall. It's much more dependent on commodities. But the Bovespa is now right in the region of its all-time peak, and the Brazilian real looks like it is at least firming. So there's the potential here that the Brazilian real is going to break out of this little year-long base formation, and that we will see additional strength from the currency, which will then create additional demand for Brazilian assets overall. Well, when we think about it in those terms, there's clear scope here that what we're seeing is a revival of the kind of investment themes that took hold in the early 2000s when commodity prices were doing better and had broken out of a lengthy period of inactivity. So copper prices today were up in a dynamic manner. I did have a question, and I will write more about this tomorrow, about mean reversion. Mean reversion is a part of all markets. One thing I find interesting about the copper price is that it has been trending higher in a very consistent manner. And we have ranges one above another. And each of these ranges has been reasonably relatively similar sized, particularly the last two. So now we have clear evidence of support coming in around 450. The last time we had support coming through at 4. The last time before that was 350, and before that was 3. So this is a clear consistency characteristic that the price is rallying by 50-cent increments and then consolidating. And the consolidations have lasted anything from a few months to a single month. So when we think then about what can we anticipate from the consistency of this trend, it's that when it rallies again, then it will more than likely go up to the next psychological level. exceed the 500 cent level and subsequently come back to find support in the region of 500 cents. And as long as it is trending and ranging and breaking out and finding support at 50 cent increments, then there won't be much reason to have a fear of top formation development, because that's what we would anticipate from a consistent trend. But we can also see that it has been an extremely steep advance, and we are in the region of the all-time peak. And the trend mean is significantly below where prices are today. So at the minimum, we can anticipate that if it fails to sustain this consistency, then it would hold out the prospect that we're going to move into a lengthier period of consolidation overall, and that that would break the year-long trend's consistency, and we would come back down and test the region of the trend mean and potentially spend a lengthier period of time in a volatile ranging phase until enough support has been built up for the medium-term trend to be reasserted. So today's upward dynamic is certainly a bellwether for the wider strength in the copper price. But of course, it's also highly beneficial for the wider commodity complex. This is more of a copper-led bull market than it is for oil, and that is where we have the very big difference between now and the early 2000s. We do not have to go out and find a lot of new oil. There doesn't have to be a lot of money spent on exploration. Everybody knows where the oil is, but what we do need to see is a new investment trend in developing that oil. So, and then of course, a lot of it comes in at a marginally higher cost overall, and a lot of unconventional oil and gas is economic around the $60 level. When we look at the futures curve, then we can also think about how easy it is to hedge out the exposure, and we can now look at a year forward, and still it's possible to hedge at $65. So that would suggest that there will be plenty of drilling activity, even though OPEC is rather reticent to increase supply. There's still likely to be a supply response at prices in the region of, or hedged prices in the region of $65. The big question, of course, is really about the cost of production, not so much in terms of how much it costs to get it out of the ground, but then what are the associated costs with also producing more? And that does represent a significant additional cost in terms of the cost of production. So prices will have to be higher to justify additional expenditure on new supply, even though it might historically have been economic to produce at 65. This introduction of carbon emissions and carbon trading means that there is a clearer trend overall of the rising cost of production. So we may have to see prices move up towards the $70 or even $80 area in order to encourage supply back into the market. And of course, with commodity prices rallying, that is what is putting upward pressure on inflation. Now, bond prices have been up and down, and prices were a little bit weaker in here today, so not holding on to the strength from 2 days ago, right in the region of the upper side of this range. There's a running argument about whether we're going to have an inflationary or a deflationary environment, and the big questions outstanding are how are these extraordinary assistance measures that have been introduced right around the world going to be removed? So we're definitely seeing more of the central banks and governments around the world talking about tapering. We saw some of that today in the UK. It was supportive of the pound, but the US Federal Reserve is rather reticent to give much credence to that kind of talk right now. They want to have a weaker currency, and they are unwilling to do much to taper until other countries have done so first. So then, of course, there is the potential that they may be correct and that some of the inflationary pressures will moderate, and that as the I think uncommonly generous assistance programs that the USA introduced are rolled off, then there will be more workers, there will be more people demanding higher wages, and then of course will they succeed in achieving them? So the big determination, of course, will be in just how much success will people have in asking for more money overall. Well, that is why bond prices are not rallying to the same extent. And then, of course, we have this additional question of just how much additional supply there's going to be, because the US government's recent, or the Biden administration's recent budget is something in the order of $6 trillion, and that is an awful lot of money. So, regardless of whether we have inflation or deflation, the simple fact of the matter is that governments are spending beyond their means. They don't really have a big plan for how to solve that particular conundrum, and gold continues to rebound. It's hovering now around the $1,900 area. That was an area of resistance back in November and January, and now we're right back there again. In the course of this uptrend up from the beginning of April, we've had a series of very small ranges in the order of about $50 each. So we're due a little consolidation. So far, this pause over the last 3 days has been extremely mild, and it looks increasingly likely that gold is has bottomed. It has clearly broken the downtrend from the peak back in August, and any weakness is likely to be a buying opportunity. And we have a similar condition overall on the gold shares. So gold shares have continued to pop on the upside and have clearly also broken their downward bias and confirming support around the $30 area in the region of the upper side of the base formation. So this has always looked like a first step above the base, and this is exactly what we're getting now. So we're in an environment where the dollar is being devalued, the yen is being devalued even faster. Emerging market currencies will take a tailwind from the renminbi strengthening. That, considering the fact that China is an export destination for a large number of commodity producers and other economies in Asia, then the strengthening of the renminbi puts upward pressure on those economies because they do have to do less to try and fight to keep their currencies down. And that is the kind of activity that creates a tailwind in terms of investor demand for assets around the world rather than in the USA or Japan, and those represent very significant capital flight potentials. So we will, I think, quite likely start to hear again about the proverbial Mrs. Watanabe. So there'll be somebody in Japan will start making money from investing in regional economies in Asia. They'll pick up the carry on the currency, and then they'll also have the potential for outsized economic growth. It'll be exactly the same in the USA. And value opportunities will tend to do better, particularly if interest rates start to rise once more. One thing that I find rather interesting at the moment is that the FANG index has been ranging now for the last 4 months, but meme stocks are beginning to pick up again. So I will just simply show you one of these meme indices that Bloomberg have put together. So we had this spike on the upside in April, or excuse me, in January, and then subsequently gave up a lot of the advance, but we've had a big pop on the upside in here over the last couple of days. So that is rather suggestive of increasing speculative interest, but in smaller shares and those that have got large hedged or well, large short positions outstanding. So there's a clear attempt going on right now to pressure some of those. But of course, this is also representative of the large amount of liquidity that is floating around the market. And some of that money is beginning to support at least the Bitcoin price. I've continued to see a lot of people suggesting that this is a wonderful buy the dip opportunity, and that every other time Bitcoin has pulled back by 40%, it has been a clear buy. But we're at a rather much higher price point right now, so it requires a lot more money to support these levels, and we would need significant billions to be committed in order to send prices back up towards the $60 area and on to new high ground. And people who are looking back at the experience they had when they were buying at $1, $10, $100, $1,000, or $10,000, well, all of that was very retail oriented. Right now, we are completely dependent on institutional money supporting the market. And when you get an asset that's worth $1 trillion, well, it requires an awful lot of money to sustain that move. So there's no argument with the fact that Bitcoin is badly in need of a bullish catalyst. And I think with that, I will leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.